Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of James, James chapter 1. We could entitle this Praying About Our Troubles, but also, if I get to it, I want to talk about God in the midst of our troubles. So look, if you will, in James chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations," or that means trials, "knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to focus on verse 5, but I want to lead up briefly to what the verse is saying. In verse 2, he's telling us to respond positively. He didn't necessarily say jump up and down, hallelujah, and all that, but to respond positively in trials, because one, we recognize the good that comes. What is the good? Well, the process of our faith in God being tried, our circumstances say it one thing, and yet we know God does something else. That process of being tried worketh patience. And the word patience means endurance, perseverance. But then he says you're to let endurance or perseverance have a perfect work. You're to let perseverance continue so that you will be perfect, not perfect in the sense of no sin, but mature and complete. And so that's the good that a trial comes from. And so then he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In life and in problems and in circumstances, there's a great, great need for wisdom. There is a requirement in the midst of trials for godly understanding. If you don't have that, then there's going to be a lot of skips in that trial. When we're going through trials, believers need a special measure of understanding to help them through. And that need for wisdom should cause us to drive ourselves to God and ask of God and to pray to God and depend on God. That's the very essence, and we need wisdom in all that we do in life. Strong faith is not based on my feelings, your feelings. Believe me, my feelings go up, down, in and out, here and there. I feel one thing and I may feel another thing. That is not my faith in God, how I feel. My faith in God is the truth that I know of who he is and what he does. So faith is not feelings. When we face times of testing, whether it be physical, emotional, moral, or spiritual, we have a special need for God's wisdom. And you must ask for it, not even just in trials, but when you face difficulty. Wisdom is what you need. Let me give you some verses. Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." He went on to say in Proverbs 3, "Her ways," talking about wisdom, "are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace." When there is trouble and upset and problems, that's not the path of peace. That's not the path of wisdom. And that comes sometimes in life. Later on, James said in the epistle, he said that heavenly wisdom is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. He said, true wisdom is peaceable. To be at peace within myself and with others, gentle in the dealing, and it means reasonable, which means, you know, I'm not stuck in what I think. We can work this thing out. We can discuss it. Being reasonable, that is wisdom. In Job's final response to his friends, he said this, "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the price of gold and precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles and fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from, and where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from all of the living and concealed even from the birds of the sky. Well, where does wisdom come? Well, you know. He went on to say, God understands its way, and he knows its place. God is the only one who understands wisdom. God is the only one who understands truth. And he wants us to pray to receive it. I go back to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. The first thing he says is, let him ask. In Greek, there are certain words that have a command to them. They're in a certain tense, which means this is not a suggestion, it is a command. So if you're going through a problem or you're going through life and you lack wisdom, it is a command that you must ask God. Yo, I can handle this. I'm smart enough. I know what I'm doing. I don't need to pray about anything. I'm good to go. Well, you're violating scripture because God says you're commanded to ask. You're to ask God. You're to call upon him. This is not an option. He says, let him ask. It's a command. Ask God for wisdom in the midst of life. I'm not sure I agree with this statement, but I'll give it to you anyway. And if a believer who's being tested is not driven to the Lord and does not develop a deeper prayer life, the Lord is likely to keep the test active and even intensified until his child comes to the throne of grace, until he makes his ear attentive to wisdom and inclines his heart to understanding. Now, I don't know if that's entirely true in every situation, but I do think when God is working, sometimes because we don't come and we don't ask. Solomon said, if you cry for discernment, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to help you understand and live life. He said in Jeremiah, he said, I have plans for you, plans for welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Ah, I can do it on my own. I can handle this one, Lord. Don't worry. You stay out. I got this one. Well, a pattern of not coming to God in prayer is a pattern that not a good pattern to emulate in life. Prayer should be a part of life, asking God for grace and wisdom and help in the midst of all life. Jesus says that when he said, if you ask me anything in my name, then I will do it. God expects us to come and pray and ask him for wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Well, I'm not going to give you my whole sermon on it, but I'm going to just make a few comments about the idea of wisdom. There is right and wrong. Ten Commandments list right and wrong. There is right and wrong. But there is on the other side of the coin wisdom. Wisdom is not necessarily about right and wrong. Sometimes someone will say, well, I'm doing this. It ain't in the Bible, is it? Show me chapter and verse where it says I can't do that. Well, I might not be able to. But I can show you from the Bible and the book of Proverbs, that's probably not wise living what you're doing. See, there's a difference between living right and wrong and living by wisdom. living by a wise way of living. Wisdom, in the context of the passage, you know what he said in the context of the passage? This is what he means. Wisdom, he said, if you're facing a trial, difficulty, face it positively. It didn't necessarily mean jump up and down, hallelujah, hallelujah, I got a trial. That's not what he's saying. He said, but understand, you can face it positively because in this trial, God will bring good out of it. And one of the goods he will bring out of you, he will strengthen your inner character to make you more a persevering person. But you must persevere in doing what is right so that perseverance will have its full effect on your life. For example, someone hates my guts. I could respond and go, oh my, I hate them too. I hate them too. But that's not persevering. What am I to do? I'm to persevere by God's grace and learning to be loving and forgiving and gracious. It may be difficult. It may take a month. It may take 2 years. It may take a while to get through the emotions. But if God's going to do his work, I'm going to have to persevere through this situation. In doing the right thing, not just say, oh, that's it, I'm not going to speak to him again. Well, you just cut off God's work in your life. So wisdom means to persevere in a circumstance in a positive, encouraging way. It means to go through it. And that requires wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to know when to say something and when not to say something. Wisdom is the ability to know when to do something and when not to do something. Wisdom is the ability to understand that maybe this person needs to be talked to and maybe this person doesn't need. Wisdom is learning. And primarily the book of Proverbs is about wisdom and people and learning to be wise. I still think, when I first began to preach, and I told this 100 times, but that's all right. You can write it down and say, that's the 15th time preacher told. But in a church, I was just starting to preach, and I went and they asked me to preach at a church, you know, and I preached that morning, and everybody come, oh, appreciate the sermon. And this lady came out and said, I'll tell you one thing, in a very loud voice. I don't think we need no young whippersnapper coming in here telling us what to do. And she stormed out. Oh, thank you for that word of encouragement. Well, I went home that afternoon. What will I preach on tonight? I know what I'll preach on. Hellfire and brimstone. That's what I wanted to preach on. But I learned from my father wisdom. Could you have done that, preacher? Could you have gone back and rebuked that woman and been right? Yeah. But I didn't know the lady. I didn't know her situation. I didn't know what caused her to do that. Now, if I'd have known her for a while, maybe so. But in this situation, I didn't know. So you know what I did? I did just what my daddy did. I got up that Sunday night and with grace and praying, God, help me not to do in this sermon anything that means I'm going after this woman. And I prayed, God help me. And I did. I really had to pray for wisdom and strength. And I preached on the love of God that night. You know what that lady did when she came to the door? She had tears in her eyes. And she said, Pastor, I appreciate that so much. That meant a lot to me. What was that? Wise living. Sometimes you say, sometimes you don't. It depends on the understanding. I had another lady one time, we in the service. We were having a meeting, and she just stood up and chewed me out. Just chewed me out right there in the service. Not bad, but she was pretty harsh. Well, I knew her for a long time. We'd already talked a lot. And in that situation, you know what I did? I was sitting right there. I hung my head down like this. I didn't say a word. I did it deliberately. Because you know who was the one then embarrassed? Her. Later on, she came up to me and apologized and said, Pastor, I was wrong. I should not have done that. That was an occasion where maybe she needed a slight rebuke, but I didn't do it with words. Sometimes wisdom means the ability to live life properly. practically? Oh, I got a whole sermon on this one. Because I believe a church should live by wisdom, not just a few things. Wisdom. A church entrusts to the pastor, to the leadership, to the people to make some wise decisions. And so sometimes it may not be the best, sometimes it may not be. But you know how you can tell about a decision, whether it's good or bad? Was the person, maybe they didn't do it the proper way, but was their intent evil? Most people may just do something and, oh, I didn't do it the right way, but their intent's not evil. They're doing it for the sake of the church. You let it slide. For the simple fact, you have to determine. If it's evil, it's different. But a person's heart is not evil. Maybe sometimes I might get something off chance. You go ahead. But the truth is, you learn to live wisely. When we were young with the children, it was sort of my policy that when the commercials came on, I paused them. Or I turned the sound down when I didn't have pause. I do it now. But I just turned the sound down. And I remember someone saying, what is this? What are commercials? And I remember one of my little ones was in my lap and looked at me and said, Daddy, that's what we don't watch, isn't it? Now, is there anything wrong with watching commercials? No. But I have a life of wisdom in the sense that sometimes a commercial may bring things for a child that's inappropriate, or sometimes things in a commercial may bring things that might challenge and stir up my flesh, not my spirit. So therefore, I'm very careful. Paul, my son, said he followed into that, and when he was at his in-law's house, they would be watching a game, and Paul would have a remote, and he'd automatically just pause the commercial. And finally, said, Paul, what are you doing? Well, I really don't know. I guess this is what we did. My daddy paused the commercial. So then he explained why. And now the girl Amanda, who has Down syndrome, and the daddy will be watching the game and not pause the commercial, and she'll scream, pause the commercial! Now, am I telling you to do that? No. Is there something in the Bible that says you're supposed to do that? No. It's just a little bit of wisdom. There's some things we let our children do. There's some things we didn't let them do because it's wisdom. See, some parents don't apply wisdom. And I can give you a whole, I may teach this now that I've studied, on wisdom is learning how to properly deal with right and wrong. And so he says, ask me for wisdom. And notice what he says. He says, first of all, then God would give it to you liberally. And that word means to be generous. It means it carries the idea of singleness, of heart, and doing something unconditionally without bargaining. The only condition is that we ask, and God will single-heartedly say, I will give you the wisdom you need. Now, does that mean God does surgery on your brain and pour it in your brain? No. I've been sat under the wisest man in the whole world. It's taken me all these years to finally put it all together. And I am, well, I shouldn't say it, but I am crooked, boy. I got things to say because I'm finally, the wisdom of what's going on has finally kicked into me. Oh, I can understand it now. I've got to be careful. But it's finally kicking, learning what wisdom is. Well, God doesn't just pour it in your brain, but he does want you to search, he does want you to look, and he does want you to seek counselors. And I've done that in the church. When I've faced a difficulty, I've sought out counselors, people who have wisdom about some things. He'll give it to you, but he don't just pour it in your brain, but he will give it to you generously. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Will he, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to those good, which those who ask him? God wants to. The word liberally means God wants to help you. He's waiting. Would you please ask me? And if you'll ask me, man, I want to move heaven and earth to teach you. I'll lead the preacher to preach a sermon on it. I'll lead the Sunday school to say the right word. I'll lead someone else to say something. I'll lead you to go to a book of the Bible. I'll do something because I want you to know how to live wisely. That's what the word liberally means, to want to give generously. And then I like the second thing. He will give to all men liberally and upbraideth not. The word liberally is the positive word. It's like when you go up to God and you say, please give me wisdom. He turns on the faucet and lets it come because he wants to. The negative is the word upbraideth. It means to upbraid, to severely reprimand. In Matthew 5, it meant to cast insults or to revile. The Lord used it when he reproached the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, whom said it, he said, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. He warned them, for if the miracles that occurred in Sodom which occurred to you, it would have remained to this day. It was a word of severe reprimand. Now you know what the positive is? God greatly desires to give you, and he won't criticize you for it. When you go and pray, Lord, can you give me wisdom? Lord doesn't go, oh, I can't believe this. I've been trying to teach you, and you still hadn't got it yet. So no, I'm not going to give you nothing. That's not what God does. Or God's not going to say, you know this happened a year ago, and you haven't prayed about it yet. So now it's too late. I'm not going to help you. No, God doesn't do that. He doesn't upbraid you. He doesn't criticize. He doesn't tear you down. He doesn't beat you up. He doesn't say, listen, do you know how undeserving you are for this? Well, I know a few of your sins, and I don't know about that. And after all, you're a sinner, so I'm not going to help you at all. That ain't what God does. God doesn't criticize you. God doesn't tear you down. God doesn't beat you up. God doesn't say, how dare you ask me? You can ask God anything. You can pray for God anything. And God is not a God who tears you down. He does not upbraid. He does not criticize. He does not tire. He does not say, oh, my goodness. If you'd have just asked me last week, we could have solved the problem. That's not what he does. He's like, you came? Well, maybe you should have asked last week, but let's see how we can work this out and bring good out of it. Because God will bring good out of anything. He doesn't criticize you. He doesn't say, how dare you? Without hesitation, reluctance, or reservation, his divine wisdom will be given to us in general abundance. He will say to us, in effect, what he said to his people Israel through the psalmist, I, the Lord, am your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, does that mean he's going to do it today? No. But you already know enough. You may have to go ask someone. I've done that quite a few times. When I was first here in the ministry, I forget how many years I was, I kind of hit a crossroads. I wasn't sure what I was doing. I was kind of young. So I took a trip all the way to Atlanta in First Baptist. I made an appointment with one of the staff people there. He set me on to one of the greatest things I ever learned. And it was great. Now, if I'd never gone and asked him, I wouldn't know that today. But I sensed that's what the Lord wanted me to do. So I took a trip all the way up there to ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. There's nothing wrong with seeking counselors. Proverbs says, in the multitude of counselors is wisdom. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Lord, help me to study your Bible. Where you want to learn, start with Proverbs. That's where you'll get a lot of it. You may not know this, but Rick, in the prior youth group and in this youth group, has been taking them through the book of Proverbs. Don't think they won't learn a little bit in Proverbs, because they're going to learn wisdom. Wisdom. God will teach you. But don't expect lightning bolts. That's not what he means. He just means if you'll come and ask, I'll begin the process. You know how many years I have prayed, Lord, I wish I could be like Dr. Burchett. Teach me what he understood. And it's taken me all these years to finally begin to put the pieces together. And I see them like I never saw them before in my life. Wisdom is what you want. Well, dear, honey, does this dress make me look fat? Now, the truth might be it does. I don't know. But you know, it'd be pretty wise if you found a way out of it. Say, well, you look nice in that. It might not be my favorite dress, but, you know, maybe wear another one. Well, I always tell the truth. Well, good luck with you and how many fires you started everywhere you go telling the truth. You mean, preacher, we lie? No, you can do things wisely and graciously. Part of living life is being wise. In my class, I taught on how to get along with people. I said when Deanna and I were first married, and she brought the food to me, and it was Iowa food. It wasn't Southern food. And we had, you know, we didn't have Brussels sprout, but we had something. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. We had broccoli. I never grew up with broccoli. How was that meal? Oh, good, good. I enjoyed it. Then finally one day I said, and she already knows I told this, I said, would you make some cream corn? You know how you ladies make cream corn, scrape it off? She sure did. She bought some corn, bought some cream, poured it on the corn. And said, there you go, cream corn. So I nipped it up. How was it? It was good, you know. I'm enjoying it. It was. It wasn't that bad. But I knew in my mind, this ain't my mama's cream corn. But I got enough brains to know I'm not going to sit there and say, well, this ain't the way my mama cooks it. Ooh, boy. We'd had a fun time that night, wouldn't we? I got brains. I'm not dumb. When my mama came a month later, she cooked it for her. Deanne watched her cooked it for her. She learned how to cook Southern, and that's why sometimes my belt is not appropriate. But I didn't have to say nothing. I'm just doing that for fun. I'm just trying to tell you, wisdom is what you need. And sometimes all you need to do is just say, Lord, help me to forgive, help me to love, help me to be gracious. Help me, Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Encourage us, Lord, in this walk of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.